It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our country reached a milestone recently, the 1 millionth organ transplant surgery, more than any other country in the world. And that's from the United Network for Organ Sharing. That's the agency overseeing donations and transplants, which has come under congressional scrutiny for organs going to waste. Join in on organ and tissue donation, the process, your experiences, 800-642-1234. Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Adam Schneider is a nurse practitioner with UW Organ and Tissue Donation in Madison. Adam, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Well, let's for a moment just take stock of the 1 millionth organ transplant in the U.S. What does that number mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible feat to make, obviously, a million transplant happen. And it involves so many people like the hospital providers, the nurses, the social workers, the OR techs, et cetera. But I think what's more important behind that is the number of how many donors it takes to make that transplant happen. I mean, without those organ donors, those 1 million transplants wouldn't be there. And so I think it's interesting that the work that my team does is entirely with those donors. I actually rarely see any transplant recipients because we come in when a patient has a devastating injury and they're not going to survive. And we work with that patient and that family to see how maybe organ donation can be something positive that can come from something obviously really terrible for someone who is dying.
Can you just acquaint us with your team and the system of processes that happen within organ and tissue donation procurement? You know, you're in a program that has been doing this for a long time, over 50 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that my program, so I work with University of Wisconsin, organ and tissue donation, and we collaborate with up to 100 and I think 10 or 11 hospitals throughout the state of Wisconsin. And so anytime a patient has a devastating injury in an ICU, we're contacted to be notified to watch to see if something bad happens. And so it's rare. Only about 2% of people pass away in a way that organ donation can actually happen, which is why it's even more important when a potential donor is able to happen, because it's so rare. And so our team is contacted, and then we work with the bedside staff, the ICU nurses, the physicians, et cetera. And we work with, as you said, UNOS, who kind of maintains the list as to who's the sickest, who's been waiting the longest. And we use that matching system to find appropriate recipients. And so our team kind of gets involved in maximizing the donation. So we try and make sure that these organs are, transplantable, basically. Many times these patients go through a pretty bad situation. And so even though we're not going to be able to save their life anymore, we try and do interventions that will help make those organs work in someone else.
It's just amazing that small number of situations that are eligible for being able to donate organs. I wasn't aware of that. And that what must mean that there is that type of match opportunity, you are flying basically anywhere to get to that donor's hospital.
Yeah, a lot of people think, you know, maybe when I pass away in a, you know, a car accident or in like a hospice situation or something like that I can donate, but it's usually not those types of situations, because the organs need to be viable for transplant. And so it really mostly happens in ICUs, but because of that rare number, we really advocate for people to make their decision known on the Wisconsin State Registry, because in those very small circumstances, it's so important, that if we want to be able to save a life, that decision is either known by that person. And if they don't make that decision for themselves, then someone else can make that decision for them, like their next of kin, whoever is taking care of them.
The data from the federal government says 17 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant. What is needed to reduce wait times?
You know, that's what my job is. My job is to, like I said, maximize the donation. So when we do have organ donors, I've implemented a lot of things that help improve the organ utilization, so that we don't just have an organ donor, but we're only able to recover, kidneys or maybe their heart's not functioning well. And so that's kind of my job, and that's what I'm always looking forward to, is what kinds of things can we do to use more of the organs from those patients, so that they are transplanted, and then those people that are dying are continuing to wait.
What would be an example of such an innovation?
One would be, what I've worked through is a lung management process for our team. And so we actually work through it by using medications that take fluid off of lungs. We do what's called recruitment maneuvers. So we use the ventilators to kind of mimic a cough and a deep breathe in these patients, because they can't do that on their own. Mm. So I've kind of standardized that kind of practice. And so we actually work through those interventions, like the diuretics and the recruitment maneuvers, to reverse lung dysfunction. And then we evaluate the lungs, and we found that so many more lungs are able to be transplanted. I think we did, like, in our first practice of this, we usually donate about 30 lungs. We had done about 20 lungs, mm-hmm. In about a year, and we did about 30 lungs after the interventions were implemented.
We have nurse practitioner Adam Schneider fielding questions on organ and tissue donation, the processes involved. Join in 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show, and there's more conversation ahead here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. More than 1,600 Wisconsinites are waiting for an organ donation right now. Nearly 4 out of 5 need a kidney, and that is from UNOS, the agency that collects and reports data on every U.S. organ donor, transplant candidate, recipient, outcome. Join in on your organ donation or transplant experience, 800-642-1234. Nurse practitioner Adam Schneider is with UW Organ and Tissue Donation, stays with us. Let's take a call now. Marcus is with us from Milwaukee. Marcus, what's your story?
Okay, good morning. So I saw a program on public television, love public radio, love public television, fantastic. About 3 months ago, I think it was, where they were talking about, it was a system where there was a woman who wanted to donate a kidney to a very close friend of hers, but they weren't a blood match. They were able to set up through an algorithm and actually, like, network it. And so it was like they were able to trade, like, kidneys, because there was a number of people who wanted to donate kidneys, but they weren't a direct match. And so they were able to, like, figure it out. And I think they solved, I think it was like 12 additional lives were saved because of it. And I just wondered what your guest thoughts were on something like that. And to everyone listening out there, 197 more people, and they get
Marcus,
$25,000.
Appreciate it, Marcus. Adam, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't work a ton with the transplant side with living donation, because I work with the deceased, mm-hmm. the patients who are dying in those ICUs. But what I can say is what he's talking about is a paired kidney exchange. And so, yeah, it's pretty cool. There's almost like 100,000 people waiting for kidneys or whatever. So it's wait times are really long for kidney transplants, because what you can do is just put that patient on dialysis and kind of hold them until a kidney is available for transplant. And so that's why a lot of people, you might see signs kind of like out and about saying, are you a match for my kidney? Because the blood type is of obvious importance. And then there's other types of matching too, that's done, called like histocompatibility and HLA. And it's kind of complex. So when people are able to look into if they're a match for someone else, it might not necessarily just mean that they're a match for that person, but maybe they could be a match for someone else. And then it could be like a domino where they could help maybe someone else who gets another kidney for them.
I'm wondering about transportation of these organs, because we've been seeing the Senate Finance Committee investigating UNOS, the agency that oversees donations and transplants, and the amount of complaints about transportation and numerous missed flights leading to canceled transplants and discarded organs between 2010 and 2020. What can be done to improve the transportation and handling of these organs?
Yeah, we're doing a ton of different things from, first of all, what I'd say is we're always, I think everyone's experiencing issues across the industry. So like whether it's staffing shortages. You go to your local restaurant, it's hard to find someone. And so, I mean, I've heard of, in the United Kingdom that some of their airports have been on lockdown forever. So it's been tricky to make sure that organs can get where they're needed. And so, we do take jets for certain organs when time is really of the essence. And when an organ does have time, it does go on kind of another, just a normal plane, like the same kind that you would take to go to Florida. It might be underneath in the cargo area to get to that recipient, which is really cool. But obviously, it's complicated. It's the same as losing your luggage. And so I personally have never experienced anything like that. So I have not had, luckily, not to focus on those kinds of things, because our organization does not have issues with that kind of transportation. But we do have issues when it comes to getting organs to the destination timely. And so some things that we're doing is looking at how we can prolong the amount of time that an organ can be outside of the body before it gets transplanted, because if you've got more time, then you're not as rushed. And so one of those is, for example, I've been working with, or at least our team has been working with, a third-party vendor who provides a service called ex vivo lung perfusion. And it's a really cool device. Basically, it takes the lungs and it makes them function outside of the body, hence the word ex vivo. And many times in our organ donors, you can run into issues with improving lung function. Maybe they were involved in a car accident, or maybe they have some sort of issue with their rib cage that causes their lungs not to open up all the way. And so ex vivo lung perfusion allows us to take these lungs outside of the body, put them on the machine, and then reopen them and reassess them before we put them into the recipient. And it also prolongs the amount of time that we have to be able to put these organs into a transplant recipient, so that we can make sure that the appropriate transportation is set up. So it's those kinds of things that help make sure that the organ is used.
Adam, thank you for joining us.
No problem at all.
Adam Schneider is a nurse practitioner with UW Organ and Tissue Donation in Madison. Up ahead, we talk about the latest sites added to Wisconsin's historical registry. The state's historic preservation officer is with us. I'm Kate Archer Kent. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.